just because you came. And we pray that God indeed will make all of us beneficiaries of his blessings. Now today, we want to look at this topic right here, the everyday miracle, the gift of time. The everyday miracle, the gift of time. Maurice? All right. Now, the ancient Greeks had seen it. Good. Now, the ancient Greeks had two words for time. Now, the first one is chronos. Now, chronos means chronological or sequential time. And it is from this word we have chronometer. And a chronometer is simply a watch. The other word, the other Greek word is kairos. Now, the Greek word kairos means right or critical or opportune time for a particular action. And this is what we'll be focusing on today. Right, critical, or opportune time for a particular season. Now, each and every one of us has goals. We have dreams. We have ambitions. You know, these years we started, some of you had resolutions. There are some things you want to happen in your life. You want to give up a habit. You want to pick another. You want to look for a job. You want to change job. You want to start a business. You want to start a family. There are so many things you want to do. And it is okay to have ambitions. It is okay to have dreams. It is okay to have plans. But the truth is, God has given us the gift of time so that all those plans, all those ambitions can take place. Now, we look for miracles in many ways. I am a believer of miracles. But the truth is, the gift of time is the everyday miracle. So every time you wake up, the first miracle you receive from God is the miracle of life. And as a matter of fact, a miracle of time means a miracle of time. So if you have life, God has given you an opportunity to do all things that you want to accomplish in this life. So the gift of time is the everyday miracle. And we praise God today for the miracle of time. And we are all beneficiaries of this miracle, the miracle of time, the gift of time. Now, time is a gift and not a right. So that means we must handle it with respect. And we need to make the best out of the pockets of time. The seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, and the years. So time is a gift from God, and it is not a light. So we must handle it with respect, and we must make the best of the pockets of this time. Now, going further into this, the reading that was read to us, the first reading, Psalms 19, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright so that we can have a heart of wisdom. In other words, God demands of us, after giving us the gift of time, to have some wisdom. And that's why the psalmist is saying, teach us, Lord, to number our days. In other words, teach us to have some wisdom in regard to the gift of time that you have given us. God has given you it, then you plan for it. That's why the psalmist is saying, please, God, teach us how to number our days. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, Making the best use of time because the days are evil. Making the best use of time because the days of evil. Now, in other words, he is telling us we need to be active. We need to work. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 5. My Father is always working and so am I. God is always busy working. God is not idle. That's what Jesus said. And if we imitate God, then we need to be busy doing something. We need to utilize the gift of time that God has given us. Now, the bridge between your ambitions and your goals and their fruition is action. To fill the units of time with a well-designed, godly content. So God has given you time, that space. It is yours now to put the content that is well-designed and that is godly. Don't waste the gift of time, because it means insult to the giver. Use time well by saturating it with godly action. That's how we use time well. When we saturate the space of time, the units of time, the pockets of time with godly action. Okay, now, he says again in Ephesians that redeem time. It's another version, but I like it more when he uses the word redeem time, for the days are evil. So in other words, he's telling us, don't waste time. Now, there are three ways we waste time. Number one, we waste time when we fail to plan. As I mentioned, God has given you that gift. It is yours to plan it. Because God will never do for man what man can do. God will never do that. Otherwise, he ceases to be God. So God does his part. It is yours now to do your part. So God has given you the space of time. It is yours now to plan. Somebody said, I'm sure you've heard this quote, failing to plan is failing. Planning to fail. Failing to plan is planning to fail. Number two, we waste time when we get distracted. That means we must know what our focus is, so that when we are distracted from our focus, we know this is something we need to get rid of. So we waste time. We waste the gift of time when we lose our focus, when we get distractions. And nowadays, a very good example of distraction is what now they are calling weapons of mass distraction, social media. It has become, I'm not surprised to see some people on their phones now, perhaps tweeting this preacher today, or whatever they are tweeting, you know. Weapons of mass distraction. And finally, we waste time when we fail to do that which is right. When we fail to do the will of God, we are actually abusing time. When we do that which is wrong, when we do those things that are not pleasing to God, we are actually wasting time. So don't waste your time. Okay? Now, let's get to more examples in the Bible on time. Based on that verse in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16, now, so what time is it? What time is it? Number one, there is time for everything. There is time for everything. This is a familiar verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is time for everything. There is a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. Time to love, and a time to hate, a time to war, and a time for peace. So what does this mean? It means that life gives us different experiences and seasons, and no one of us is immune to them. Even the most upright among us, we are not immune to these seasons of time. And that's why sometimes you are happy, sometimes you are not happy. Sometimes you enjoy life, sometimes we are sad. Life has been taken away. Life is full of seasons, some of which we don't like. But God has taught us how to handle every situation. These seasons come, but God has taught us how to handle these situations. Now, some examples from the Bible. Now, the first one is Philippians chapter 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Seasons come, but how should we approach these seasons of time? He says, I know what it is to be in need. I also know what it is to have plenty. But in everything, I have learned the secret of contentment. Then he says, in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether having plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So it doesn't matter what time has given us. As Christians, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We can handle those situations. And he has given us one of the greatest secrets of living, contentment. And he also says that in 1 Timothy 6:6, contentment is a great, godliness with contentment is great gain. Number two, Philippians 4:6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, whether good or bad, in all seasons of time, by prayer and petition, let your needs be known to God with thanksgiving. Okay? So in everything, in every situation, whatever comes our way, doesn't matter to us because we know what to do. We can pray and we can give thanks to God. Number three, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, he tells us in everything we know what to do, we can give thanks to God. And that's why I love the gift of prayer, that we can pray when things are good. We can pray when things are not good. Because we know what to do when different seasons of life come to us. We know what to do. We can run to God. Psalms, that one very wonderful verse, my time are in your hands. This is what the psalmist said. Whatever they are, my times are in your hands. And this is what I pray every morning. Lord, whatever will happen to me, my times are in thy hands, whatever they are. And I do that in a form of a hymn. Not sure whether you can see it. And I want to invite Elder Solomon to come up here because he knows this song very well. And I want him to sing the song. It's a powerful song. The title of the song is My Time is in your hand.
Please don't look at the sofa notation because I'm going to do it in a different arrangement. My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to thy care. My times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best my seem to thee. My times are in thy hand, why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear. My times are in thy hand, I'll always trust in thee. And after death, at thy right hand, I shall forever be.
Praise God. Beautiful hymn. My times are in thy hands, whatever they are. Whether pleasing, whether painful, my times are in your hands. And this is the benefit we have when we trust God. Doesn't matter what comes our way. Actually, there's even another verse in Psalms that says, even when bad reports comes our way, we are not going to be afraid. Because God is the Lord of all seasons. And we can trust him in every situation. So my times are in thy hands. The other one is, what time is it? It's time to stay alert. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to be alert. He said, I will come again. And he did. That day will come and it will not fail. And we need to be alert. We need to be awake. Then he says, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night when no one is expecting. And he may come through the manner of death. We don't know when the trumpet will sound. The Bible is very clear that some of us will not be dead. 1 Thessalonians says that the trumpet will sound and those who are dead in Christ will be raised first, and them that are living and alive and in the Lord will follow later. So the truth is, we need to be alert. We don't know when we shall leave this world. We don't know whether it will be a plane crash. We don't know whether it will be at peace in our beds. We are not sure what will happen to us, but one day we will be taken away. So we need to be alert. And the Bible says every day should be a day to be alert. Be watchful. Be ready. Because you don't know the hour nor the time when the Son of Man will come. So it is time to stay alert. Finally, what time is it? It is time to do what you have to do now. It is time to do what you have to do now. Today is the time. Tomorrow may not be yours. And this is what the Bible has taught us. James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend the year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Says you don't know about tomorrow. Tomorrow may not be yours. So today is the day. So do what you need to do today, because this is the day you already have. You can plan for tomorrow, but the truth is tomorrow may not be yours. This is the problem with the parable of the rich fool. Now, many people want to be called rich, but they don't want to be called fools. And the Bible says there was this rich man who was foolish. He had a bounty harvest. He said, what am I going to do? He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store my produce there. Then go sit down and tell myself, rejoice, enjoy life. Life is good. And the Bible says, God said, you fool, who told you the life you have is yours? And that day, his life was taken away from him. And the Bible says, so shall it be with those who are not rich in the things of God. So when you plan, know that tomorrow is not yours. And there are some things you have to do today. Another example, 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You don't have to put it tomorrow. You don't have to put it until you have enjoyed yourself to the maximum. The Bible says it is not then, it is now. The day of salvation is today. Then he says, this is a wonderful verse in Proverbs 3. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them today. And I think I've said here, one day a brother wrote to me a request wanting some money from me. Then he quoted this verse. So I read it. He just quoted the verse, not the word. So I read it. Say, hey, brother, so-and-so, give me 2K. Then Proverbs chapter 3, 23. So when I read it, it said, never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can do it today. Well, I don't want to say I was compelled or I was under duress, but that was a strong scripture. So there are things you have to do now. Sometimes we postpone happiness. You think that you'll be happy when you get a huge salary, when you get a good job. It doesn't. You don't need to wait until then. You need to start now. Don't postpone it. It is today. And there is a quote here by Thomas Jefferson, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. If you can do it today, don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late for you. So what are we saying? Don't postpone. Procrastination is the thief of time. Start today. Today is the day. It will never happen until you take a step forward. A step of faith. And this is huge. One day I was going to college and I was not sure I had the money. Then I talked to one of the ministers in our church. He told me something very interesting. He told me, you want to go to college? Yes, I said I want, but I don't have fees. Then he told me, you know that verse in the Bible that says God will provide all your needs according to your riches in glory? I said, yes, I do. Then he told me, if you are still wanting, it will never be a need. You keep wanting to go to college, it will never be supplied. He told me, until you take the first step, it becomes a need. It was a very interesting way of looking at things. And it is until I took a step of faith that miracles started to open. And I talk to many young people, tell me, look, get me a scholarship or something like that. I tell them, it doesn't happen that way. You have to take a step. You have to do some things. Switch on the power. Power could be there, but it requires some action. It requires you to go up and press the switch. Spend time with friends and loved ones. Tomorrow may be too late. It's very sad when you hear people eulogizing their loved ones. They say, I wish I spent more time with them. You need to spend time with your loved ones. Your parents in the village, be in contact with them. Constant contact. Don't wait until Christmas Day. Or don't wait until a neighbor dies. Make deliberate trips to the village. Spend time with your loved ones. Tomorrow they may not be there. Start today. It's Martin Luther who said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And this is what we call a step of faith. And no wonder somebody said, life is not linear, that you can see it the whole mile. No. You take one step at a time. One step at a time. So, what am I saying? God has given us the gift of time. It is ours. To pray that God will give us wisdom to handle this gift. Because when we use it not in the intended way, then we will be abusing the giver. But because he is so gracious to us, he has also given us wisdom to live, wisdom to use the time that he has given us. And I pray that all of us, because we are beneficiaries of this gift of time, we are going to use the time God has given us to live in this world, to do that which is light, to do that which is good, and to do that which is pleasing in the eyes of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We want to have a moment of prayer, so if we can stand up, that would be good. And as we pray, even according to the word of God, you have many dreams you have. You have ambitions. Look at the gift God has given you, the gift of time, and ask yourself, what should I do with this gift so that I can accomplish my goals, so that I can accomplish my ambitions? You don't need to look for any other miracle. The miracle you need is the miracle of time, and God has given you it. It is yours now to saturate it with godly content, to saturate it with the light action. And the Bible says God is going to bless the works of your hand. It's until you start doing it that the blessings of God will come. God will bless the works of your hand. It is until you take the first step that the Lord will bless you. But if you stay idle and passive, you may not be a participant in the blessings that God has kept for you. So even as we pray, think about it and know that God has given you time. Use it well. Look at some of the areas in your life you've been using time wrongly, spending it with wrong people, spending it doing wrong things. Look at those areas and give up on them and say, I want to spend time well, because time is a gift from God. Amen. So think about it as we pray now.